Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen shroud, and laid it in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested, according to the commandment.
Well, thank you for being here tonight. Thanks for those who lead us in music and for the readers. And thanks for celebrating this tonight. Tonight we're going to be thinking about the last words of Jesus, kind of what he said at the end on the cross. We're also going to be thinking about other last words and how this is important, that when people pass from this world, they say certain things, and sometimes they're speaking about their life and they're saying things that are just really significant for how they live their life. Charles the Ninth of France in 1574, when he passed, said this: "Nurse, nurse, what murder, what blood? Oh, I have done wrong. God, pardon me." Blaise Pascal said this: "My God, forsake me not." Winston Churchill said something very different. He said, "I'm bored with it all." Bob Marley, the great reggae musician, said, "Money can't buy life." Leonardo da Vinci, this is my favorite one, said, "I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have." One of the greatest artists ever still didn't feel like he did enough. Steve Jobs said this, and this was according to his sister: "Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow." And his sister said she wasn't sure what he was trying to say. Was he saying that he was entering into something, or was he saying, "Oh, wow, this is over"? Last words mean something. In the last words of Jesus, the greatest death, the most important death, is very significant as well of what he said. Now, we're not going to look at all of his last words tonight, and I would encourage you tonight or tomorrow to read through those. There are seven last words or last phrases. We're going to look at several of them, but not all of them. First, I want to think about what was already read for us when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Now, I want you to think of it in this way, that there was something that he was having to forgive them for. And as we just heard read, he was humiliated. They stripped him. They beat him. They spit on him. One of the gospel writers tells us that people yelled in his face. Now, they yelled, "Crucify him." But there were people that were right up close to him, yelling in his face of how much they hated him. The humiliation that he felt, the sins against him. And he said, "Father, forgive them." As they're putting the nails in his hands, as they're putting the nails in his feet. Forgive them. And he wasn't saying forgive them with no pain. He was saying forgive them with tremendous pain. And these were his last words, some of his last words. Another of his last words was, "Woman, behold your son." And of course he was talking to his mother, Mary. And then he said, "Son, behold your mother." And this, I think we see the humanity of Jesus. That he had this moment with his mom. But he didn't call her mother, he called her woman. Because he's saying to her, "Look at me as a woman, as your Savior, but also as your son." Can you imagine your kid and seeing the humiliation and even feeling the humiliation that this wasn't just personal with Jesus, this was for the family? They continued to humiliate him and his family, the Romans did. And they were humiliating all of his people, his country, his people, the Jewish people. Here's the King of the Jews. Let's put a robe on him. Let's put a crown of thorns on his head. Let's humiliate him as much as possible. And his mom watched the whole thing. We see his humiliation personally. We see his humiliation in his family. We see the humiliation that his people felt. But we also see his rejection, not just by a human, but by God himself. As he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Of course, he's reading from Psalm 22 in King David's psalm. But only in that moment had Jesus ever known disconnection from his Father. From eternity past to eternity future, the Trinity was one: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But in this moment, his Father abandoned him. His Father rejected him. He had never known that. He'd never felt that before. He'd always felt connected with his dad, even when others were hurting him, even when others, and he says, "Father, forgive them." He could bring that to his father. In this moment, he could not. The father turned his back on his son. He was rejected. And he felt that. And he expresses it when he says another one of his last words, "I thirst." Now, there's something so much deeper here. We talked about it a couple months back in our study in Isaiah, that when he's saying, "I thirst," he wasn't just looking for some water or some wine. He was saying, "I have these deep longings right now. There's something going on inside of me that is so deep and so strong." He was taking on the weight of sin. The trillions upon trillions of sins that we've committed were put on him. And his father was gone. And Jesus, the man, took it. He was tempted in every way, and the weight of sin was upon him, and he cried out, "I thirst. My longings are deep." He was stripped. He was shamed. He was beaten. He was abused. He was rejected. He was abandoned, and sin was put on him. But then he said, "It is finished." He paid the penalty for it. He took the wrath of God upon himself. The anger, the justice. He took all of our sin upon himself. And he completed it. He paid the debt. He earned salvation and redemption for his elect people. And just as the Father had turned his back on the Son, the Father has put his face on us. His back is toward Jesus. His face is toward the elect. He looks upon us. He smiles upon us because he turned his back on the Son. When we receive the benediction, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. This is it. He smiles on us. He doesn't reject us. He accepts us. He doesn't abandon us. He receives us and says he will always be with us. And he will never leave us. Because he left his Son. And Jesus causes that to happen because redemption is accomplished and redemption is applied on the cross for all of those before Jesus and all of us after Jesus that are God's people, the chosen ones of God. And so tonight, as we enter into this, I want you to know that you can grieve with hope. You can be really sad. And you can honor Jesus with your sadness. You can also know that when you honor him, you also worship him because of what he's done. But we don't walk away tonight without hope. Because Jesus' last words were not on the cross. He came back. He rose. And his last words on this earth, we're going to talk about on Sunday. That he says a lot more. There are 400 other people who see him. Because he rose from the dead. Like all those people's last words that I've told you, they don't come back. Jesus did. And that's where we're going to go. But tonight, feel this grief. Honor the Lord. And as tonight, as we walk away, I encourage you to honor him and feel it. You don't have to be afraid of being sad. Because we do grieve with hope. As Isaac Watts said, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I?" We can rejoice tonight that our Savior gave himself for us. Let's honor him as we worship. Let's honor him as we remember him. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you that you gave your life for us. That we know you didn't have to. You chose to. You could have stopped it at any point. Thank you for taking the weight of our sin. Thank you for loving us more than we understand. And we do pray tonight, Lord, that our hearts would be sad. But most of all, Lord, that we would look to you and meditate on your death. I pray, too, that as we feel this death, that we would know that there is resurrection that is close. I pray especially for those tonight who are coming with deep scars and deep sadness. And I pray, Lord, in a special way, Holy Spirit, that you would be with us and remind us that you felt the same thing and even more. Give us this grace, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.